Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode. If you didn't know, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/chillaxpodcast, patreon.com/chillaxpodcast. Supporting the podcast, you can get additional episodes for free, and all this support, and I suppose monetary support will go towards creating the video podcast, creating more episodes to provide more content for you guys. But either way, it's fine if you don't support. Just listening to this will do as well. I think, you know, it's still very hard for me to imagine that people actually listen to this podcast. Sometimes I just look at the Spotify stats or the podcast stats, and I see one episode has about, right now it sees about 80% who listens to it. And I was like, wow, 80% is two secondary school classes listening to this podcast. And I was like, wow, I can't imagine that. Like, who listens to this podcast? Why would they want to listen to this podcast? This random guy talking, right? I mean, you hardly see or hear like podcasts where there's only one person talking. Usually it's a group of people. It makes things exciting. So it's even harder for me to imagine people who want to listen to this one guy just talking about his life. And I get quite self-conscious over there. But I mean, that's that. Maybe one day in the future, if this podcast grow big enough, maybe there'll be opportunities where I can meet fellow listeners. That'll be interesting to see who listens to this podcast. It's always interesting to see the stats, how what kind of demographic is actually listening to this podcast. I think there are some weeks where there's like a 50% female ratio and 50% guy, and on some weeks there are like a 80% guy ratio and 20% females. But most of you guys who are listening, you are about that age, late 20s, mid 20s to around early 30s. So I guess in some ways or another, those who listen eventually kind of fit your age, right? I'm also sitting at around that age, and the things that we talk about roughly exist between that 25 to 35 years old range. So it's quite interesting. I thought there would be like younger listeners or even older, but at the end of the day, you kind of gravitate towards topics that are relevant to you, right? And when you first see this podcast, you can see all these topics are definitely more relevant than others. But I think it's interesting to see, and I think one of there's a Spotify platform where it allows me to see who are the people who listen, right? It's not just demographic. What kind of artists they listen to as well. I wanted to talk about this for a very long time, but I never had the chance to talk about this because usually I just start on the topic immediately, right? So today we're going to be talking about the France trip and whatever. But it's interesting to talk about this as well, where, you know, I get to see what kind of artists y'all listen to. And I see there's quite a interesting mix. There's Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift. These are all very English kind of music, right? Then there's also Chinese Mandopop as well, like Jay Cho, JJ Lin. So that was pretty interesting. Like, there's a good mix here. I thought it would be all English, or I don't think it would be all Chinese, right? It's kind of, I don't think so, but I'm not too sure about it. But it's interesting to see what you are interested in listening. Yeah, but I don't know, that's what I wanted to share today. There's something interesting that I always wanted to share. So today we're going to be talking about my first trip to France, to Europe. I never thought in my life that I'll be able to go to Europe or that far to any Angmoh country at all, because coming from a not well-to-do family, a poor, you know, family, you never expect that kind of situation would happen, right? I'm not so rich to the point where I can shout out like 2k just to travel, just to fly there and fly back, and also another 1k plus to burn away to get a hotel. And I don't think it's even 1k plus, right? If you think about it, maybe 100 to 200 for a room, then it can become almost 2k. Then when you go there, you also need to spend money. Things are more expensive there. Another 2k. So it kind of stacks up to about 6, 7, 8k kind of situation. And I never thought I would go there. The furthest I went would be maybe Taiwan, Malaysia. Aside from that, Bangkok, I think that's all. So I never really imagined myself going to that far. Maybe for a honeymoon in the future. But I never really think that I would have went so early in my life, right? Because I see my other friends, those that work part-time. Actually, I have the money to go to Europe. But it will burn my entire life savings. And coming from a poor background, I just want to hoard money and save every penny that I earn, right? But then I see my other friends, they are from more well-to-do families, but in some sense, they are quite independent. So whatever money they earn, they just spend everything. And maybe the parents will support, I'm not too sure about that. So they will always go overseas, and that's pretty common for them. But whereas for me, I can't really bear to part with my money. So it was quite I don't know, I just got lucky, I guess, because this would have never happened. It's so rare, you know, for this to happen, because I was interning in China for a tech firm, one of the big three tech firm, and big three is like Baidu, Alibaba, and Tencent, right? So I interned for one of them, and while they were talking about going overseas, because they have this global expansion, expanding their services into certain European countries, right? Then they talk about going overseas. Then one day I just asked them, can I go, or if you all need me, I can go as well. And for some reason they said sure. I think I asked them why, and they said I suppose they decided to reward me, because I'm like, out of all the interns there, I was the one that was working very long, working like late to the night. You know, like China working culture is like 9-9-6, right? 9 to 9, 6 days a week. So I was literally working very long hours, while the rest actually can no need to work one. That, I mean, they would tell us to leave work on time, whereas the rest just work until 12 midnight every day. But then I would still stay, and whatever they want, I would do. So eventually, I think they allowed me to go, but not on an official kind of status where I'm part of the crew that goes, in the sense where I'm not, because technically I'm an intern, I'm not really part of the company or whatever, that kind of situation, right? And the thing is, I ended up going there under the status of working for the agency that was helping them, because they actually hired an agency to run all of their marketing, right? And also run their expansion program overseas. So they were just there to supervise and have the agency people manage things for them. And I ended up going overseas tech to them. So all the expenses were paid for. And also the travel was paid for, the cab fare, the whatever, what was it? The food and everything. I suppose the only thing that wasn't paid for was things that I spent money on. And that was pretty, that was such a good deal, right? That was such a good deal, isn't it? And that was probably quite an eye-opener going to like a new place. Because I always describe, like, in the world, right, there are a lot of places to visit. And being from Southeast Asia, all you see is the jungle, rainforest. You know how Singapore nature looks like, the very wet forest kind, and Asia have a certain look to it. And once you travel out of Asia, there are so many different areas. You're kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a game. You're unlocking different areas. You go to Dubai, Saudi Arabia, then you see desert that you've never seen before. It looks so interesting. You see all this architecture, this brown color, like you went from greenery, some form of concrete jungle, to just desert and sand. So like, you know, you're unlocking new areas, seeing new places. And then Europe is another area that you can unlock in that sense, where you have all this very old European architecture, cobblestone pathways that you never seen before. You always see on movies, TV series, and it looks cool, but only until you reach there, then you'll see, wow, actually it's truly magnificent. Then you look at Singapore's building. Singapore is like just concrete jungle, I guess. Not really, there's no history, I suppose, extended history like Europe or something. And it was pretty cool, the whole building aesthetic and everything. And of course, the plane trip was definitely one of the longest I had, as compared to, I don't know, I went to Dubai before, it was a couple of hours, slightly longer than Taiwan, but then going to France was just on another level. It really pushed me to my max, you know. Thank God, I suppose the army training helped this. Doing guard duty, just sitting in the room, doing key press duty. Key press duty is you are just sitting in this room where you are just managing all the keys for different officers. So you just sit there for 10 hours to 12 hours and you do absolutely nothing. Maybe you can bring your phone in, then you just look at your phone. So it's essentially like that, the plane ride. Once you step in, you just sit there, you just wait for your meal to come in, but for the rest of the day, you just literally do nothing. You watch shows, but at one point, eventually you kind of get tired, right? You can't be watching shows for 8 hours. Personally, for me, I can't. I watch like 2-3 hours, then I tired already. I lose focus. I don't need to be watching any shows. I need some stimulation. But so high in the sky, there's no internet. You can't really play any games unless you bought your laptop. I don't have a laptop. My phone, most phone games now need internet, right? I don't have Nintendo Switch or whatever. So you just, I don't know, sit there, listen to the podcast, and I can't even fall asleep. People say, oh, can just go up there, 8 hours, red eye flight, fall asleep. Wow. I really, and I'm envy of these people who can just go up there and fall asleep for 8 hours. For me, I can't, man. And this kind of situation has always been a pain. For those who kind of am in the same position as me, you can understand, right? It's just a pain. Especially, whatever kind of traveling that's involved, you can't just fall asleep and wake up and magically, oh, you feel refreshed and you can start your traveling happy, you know. But plane ride has always been painful. It's very much the same as just toning overnight at your friend's house, right? Which was quite a bad experience, as much as it's fun to torn with your friends. But that aside, the plane ride was terrible. But overall, the trip there was pretty fun and pretty interesting, because you get to see all this architecture, and the hotel breakfast was very nice. We didn't live at some shabby hotel, we live at some pretty good hotel, and they have free flow breakfast every morning. And I ever had a lot of hotel breakfast before. I think Genting was one, maybe Taiwan hotel was one, but this was probably the best one I've eaten so far. Of course, French food is nice. All these bread, sourdough bread, if you like bread, they have a lot of good bread. They have scrambled eggs. The scrambled eggs is the kind of very creamy kind. I don't know, maybe, I think in Singapore, right, scrambled eggs are not done very well. Are done pretty badly. But for some reason in France, it's way better. It's creamy. It's like you're eating soup like that. It's so creamy, so... It's like in the middle between solid and liquid kind of version, like the sauce like that. You're just like eating porridge. It looks like a porridge essentially, and it was nice. I eat until I'm sick of it. Then there was like croissant, chocolate croissant as well, and there's something very different, because one thing about this is that I actually learned French before. And I learned it around army until uni for about 2 years. And our French teacher always say, like, in Singapore, the pastries, the croissant, all these are not legitimate one. They are nowhere near close to what you eat in France. And I kind of understood that finally after eating their pastries in France. There's a huge difference. If you buy from BreadTalk, you see the croissant, right? It's like, it's, if it's fresh out of the oven, it's somewhat crispy. But then, when you eat that, right, it's not as crispy as the French Paris version or whatever it is. And it doesn't have that I suppose aroma, because I think in Singapore all these bakeries they try to be halal, or even if it's not halal, the butter they use is very different, or they don't use butter at all. I'm not too sure how to make croissant. But in France, from what I understand, is that the ingredients they use is very different, so this creates a croissant that is very very crispy, very shiny. Yes, it's very shiny sheen on that whole croissant, and we'll bite into it, there's a butter taste to it, it smells very nice. It's that kind of croissant, right, that it's so the flavor is so strong that you can't eat a lot of it in one go. You eat one, then you very jelak, really very sick, really. But it's damn nice. And the chocolate they put in, I mean chocolate, right, France, I suppose in some sense chocolate is pretty, I don't know, pretty well made in France. So the chocolate in the croissant balances things so well, because you have this savory, salty that mixes well with the chocolate that is a little bit bitter. Not the kind of cheap chocolate that they use in Singapore, where it's not even chocolate. It looks like chocolate, but there's a lot of milk, a lot of sugar. But this one has it is sitting at the dark chocolate range, which was very, very nice. And I really enjoyed all the pastries there, even though I'm not really a pastry person, but the pastry was damn good. All the supermarkets have pastry, have this pastry corner that they sell pastries, and everything looks so well made. You know, if you look at Singapore, one, Singapore is like very BreadTalk, like very Asian and all these things, and they have a certain look to it, the Asian bread kind of look. But then French pastry it looks as beautiful as what we see on the pictures and on the TV shows. Everything is like orange color and all this very shiny pastry, just stuff in the box. It looks so appetizing, that kind. I don't know how to describe it well to you guys, but it just looks very nice. And it's not just pastry. Just like any typical Singaporeans, I'm not quite sure whether it's a typical Singaporean thing to do. I would assume so. We would like to, I like to try the fast food in other countries. It's interesting to see how they differ. And one thing for sure is KFC. I don't know. It seems like there's a couple of Singaporeans that I think I heard of, or I know of, that goes to try different KFC, right? Then they say, well, Japan's KFC is probably the best one and everything. And I remember I said this in the previous episode before. I tried the KFC in France. And let me tell you, I never been to Japan before, so I don't know how nice Japan's KFC was, but KFC in France is literally the best one ever. The best KFC I ever tasted. I tried Phuket or Bali's KFC, tried Malaysia's one, I tried Singapore's one, and of course, all of you guys know, Singapore's one is at the bottom. I have no idea why Singapore's one is so shitty. I feel that when it comes down to chicken marination, right, I feel that the chicken quality is roughly the same across all over the country. Different countries, the chicken is about the same. So it seems like it's not really a Singapore issue where the chicken is not that fleshy, it's not that juicy or whatever it is. The quality is about the same. It's the marinade that's different. And for some reason, I think Singaporeans maybe might have given so much feedback to the KFC Singapore that they decided to not marinate it well enough. They make the batter very not as salty as I want it to be. I remember in the past when I was young, KFC's skin was marinated so well that it's so salty. But now it's no longer as salty anymore. And then, you know, you compare it to the one I ate in France, it was so well marinated. It's like brown color, you know. Singapore's one is like light brown, but this one was legit brown color. And can see all the spices on the KFC. And then eating the skin was probably the best part. I think when the KFC is well marinated, right, with the with all the seasoning and everything, it's probably, I don't know, there's something so satisfying about it. Eating the salty skin is so, it has a lot of, it's a very unique flavor, isn't it? And it kind of brings back memory in the past when I eat KFC, when KFC was still served on the plate with buns. I suppose you guys who are listening around my age will have remembered it, right? You all are in that generation as well, that intersection point between when KFC went from serving on the plate with buns to the newer version, which is in the box, I suppose, or in the tray, I suppose. Yeah, and the KFC was just surprisingly nice in France. I suppose maybe, I don't know, maybe it sounds a bit racist to say, or why, I'm not quite sure, is it racist to say? The people who were manning the restaurant, right, in KFC, in France, the people who are doing the kitchen, right, they're all black people, and I would like to think that black people are very good at making fried chicken, because I see so many like YouTube videos, I don't know, Epicurious, Bon Appetit, Eater, all of these people, they always like to show documentaries or videos on black people that make very good fried chicken. Then every time I look at it at night, I shouldn't be watching it, man. It makes me so hungry. Yeah, so the KFC was nice, and not just that, but okay, I gotta be honest here, the pastry is nice, the hotel breakfast is nice, KFC is nice, but if you are talking about main food, right, I'm not sure whether is it because I didn't have a long enough time to explore different areas to eat their main, their popular food, like their main course and everything, because I tried a couple and it wasn't very nice. I think their side stuff like pastry and breakfast are the ones that are nice, but their main food, like main course, I eat their duck confit, grilled chicken, all was pretty bad. Even their, I mean, Europeans have to eat potato, right? It's their cups, it's like our counterpart, right? Their counterpart to our rice. I would expect that they make very good potato, but to be honest, it's the same as what I eat in Singapore, and it's terrible. It doesn't taste nice, not even seasoned at all. That was the experience, but KFC was nice. The water was surprisingly nice, being able to drink Evian. I mean, Evian in Singapore is very expensive, and for some reason I think water tastes very different if you import overseas to here. When I drink in Singapore, Evian doesn't taste as nice, but if you drink Evian in France, right, maybe it's just the air quality is different, the environment is different, Evian like tastes very very nice. It's probably one of the better tasting waters. If you guys have to drink water, Evian in France is very good. I think there are other brands like Volvic or whatever it is. And it was in France, right, where I kind of got I got a habit or a liking towards drinking sparkling water, because everywhere you go, right, you always have the options between still water or sparkling water. And I always ordered sparkling water, and the first time I drank it was like, wow. Even you drink good sparkling water, right, it doesn't have that kind of bitter taste, and it tastes very nice. I think because I'm not really a fan of sugary drinks, but the sparkling part really makes it very fun and interesting to drink, and very nice to drink, because it kind of sparkles. It has a bubbly feeling on your mouth, right? So after I came back, I kind of have this obsession, and even until now, I still drink. So whenever I go to supermarkets to buy snacks or buy tea and coffee for myself, I will also buy sparkling water just to kind of treat myself, because I don't really like soda, Coke and all these things. I don't know who drinks Coke, man. And for those people who like to drink Coke Zero, it's atrocious, man. I don't know why. The artificial sweetener even though they change, they say new recipe, but it still tastes, it tastes slightly better, but it still tastes horrible. And there's this whole thing where every single soda manufacturer, right, decides to make their main drink, you know. They don't make a diet version. They make their main version, right? Have the health pyramid thing, so it's healthy for you. And they change all their sugar drinks, right? From sugar to artificial sweetener, and it's atrocious, man. I used to like the Heaven and Earth passion fruit tea. And they change from sugar to the what, artificial sweetener, and it was terrible, man. It's so fleeting, the taste. There's a difference between sugar and artificial sweetener, right? Sugar kind of lingers. It feels more round, feels more full-bodied, sweeter. But then artificial sweetener is just, it has this very sharp sweetness. Then it falls flat immediately and doesn't make any drink nice at all. And you're not even sure whether there's any kind of side effect to it. So I try to not drink any of this at all, because I don't think they have done enough research yet. But they say like there's a possibility that it might not be good for your health, even though they say it's healthy. Yeah. So water is nice. Sparkling water is nice. Potato chips are pretty nice as well. They are potato chips. They have very interesting flavors. And they have this Lay's. They have this Lay's that is roast chicken flavor. And let me tell you, as a fan of chicken flavored snacks, I'm quite sure some of you, or most of you, are fans of chicken flavored snacks. You know, the OG Twisties that are chicken flavored. It was not too bad, but the chicken flavored Lay's was surprisingly one of the best chips I ever eat. Ever eat. It was, I would put it right at the top, or even the best ever I eaten. I wish I could have brought back more bags, but I decided to try every different flavors that I see, and the chicken one was amazing, man. It has this very strong roasted chicken flavor. And maybe it's in Asia, right? Their chicken, their definition of chicken, right? The artificial chicken is very different from European chicken. The European chicken will be roast chicken, and it has this very umami taste. You know, when you eat ramen, when you eat soy sauce, there's this certain kind of umami taste to it. A certain slight bitterness. Salty, savory, and all these things, and the roasted chicken chips was able to get that taste that is very, very nice. But in Singapore, in Asia, all of their chicken version, their flavor is, yes, this very I don't know, very chickeny artificial taste that doesn't really, that is not very nice. Yeah, maybe in the past when I was young, it's nice, but It's not though. Yeah. So the chips was nice. And then we also went around shopping, because I went with my colleagues, and every one of them, they were all females. And they work very hard. They work a lot of days. I mean, 996, right? So they have a lot of money to spend to treat themselves. And usually when you go, I mean, China people go France is to buy luxury product, right? So we went to their big departmental store. They buy a couple of things. I didn't really buy. I kind of regretted in the end. At that time, I just didn't really care about luxury. But seeing how cheap it was, kind of regretted not buying one item for myself. I mean, at the end of the day, I look at the price, right? If I buy like a luxury bag there, the mid-range, not the super high-tier luxury kind, it was about the same price as a Herschel in Singapore. So it was kind of a regret for sure, but at that point in time, I was on this very crazy hyper frugal state where I don't want to spend any single money, and I kind of regretted not spending money. If I have the time, if I can go back time, I would spend lah. Then because it was a work trip as well, and we were expanding, you know, services into different countries and everything, we have a professional photographer to take pictures of the certain event, and the professional photographer you get by a day, 2 days, 3 days, not like a certain hour, so they got like several days. And you know what happened? We ended up, after the photographer has done his job, we ended up bringing him to bring where we went to different places in France to sightsee, and we brought this photographer to come and take picture for us. So my best picture that I ever taken in my life that I put on all the dating apps, my LinkedIn profile, my Instagram profile, is the one that I taken from in France by the professional photographer with the France background, the very nice artistic background. It was nice, man. It was nice. I don't think I can take any better photo than that. And it's quite common though for China people to go overseas for, I don't know, wedding photo shoot, and they just hire the photographer to take photos wherever they go. And then also interesting experience, it was my first time experiencing snow. I think during one of the days it was very cold and it rained, and I think the rain became snow, and it was nice to experience snow. It just feels like ice kacang raining down on you. But I didn't really experience the snow to the extent where it's like piling up. That would be very interesting to see, because this snow looked like very soft, but the one that I was experiencing was like ice kacang piling out of the floor. Then we went to see Eiffel Tower. It was not bad, it was fine. I think the architecture looks more interesting. Then we went to the bridge, the overhead bridge where we were under it, where I think it's a popular spot. I think not Tenet, it's what is it, the movie Inception, the movie that was where it was filmed. I think Elliot Page now filmed there, right? And the building and the bridge was very nice. We took some very cool photos there. And then besides that, mainly the rest was just doing work, setting up all the banners, all the posters, because like you have these top China government officials coming to France and whatever it is, and then talking to the France counterpart. It was interesting to see how things are being set up. You have events, and I think we have this work event, right? That was damn cool. So we went to this departmental store because we were launching our service at this huge departmental store, one of the largest in France. And for work events, right, they have their own office, and their office there, right, is in the departmental store. And for work events, they have this balcony. Damn it. It was probably, I don't even think it's probably, it is the best balcony or rooftop experience I ever had. It was this rooftop, right? Because the departmental store was so big, it was probably one of the tallest buildings among all the very short buildings in the entire of Paris. And it was on the rooftop that we were having, you know, buffet and everything, and they were running the event, and you overlook the entire Paris, man. And it is exactly like how the TV shows, the movie shows it. It has this very romantic feel, looks very cool, and I don't know, man. It's like, now talking about this, I can still remember that scene from my head. I was just speechless, and it was snowing at that time, like kind of half rain, half snow. Then you kind of see all this snow stacked up on the rooftop, and you have the rooftop bar there. Then you have sofas that are very there's this France aesthetic. You have these very interesting, unique colors, mishmash of colors. Then it overlooks the entire Paris. It was like, I don't think I would ever be able to visit this rooftop again, but it was nice. It was a good experience. And then besides that, we also went around shopping, and that was, I think this is quite an interesting thing that happened. I didn't really share this with anyone before, because there's no real reason to, and there's no rationale, like how do I insert that into a conversation. But while I was visiting different, because we were going around doing work after shopping, then we were looking at different places where people can use that service that we are launching in from China in France, right? Then we were at this pharmacy. I saw this person, or this girl is like probably one of the prettiest, and I'm quite sure she's Singaporean, but she never spoke a single word. She was with her friend. I couldn't hear anything. And I think she was a stewardess because you can see, you know, stewardess have this typical haircut, and I think she's from SIA. But she wasn't dressed in the kebaya. I don't think you can do that, right? Well, but she was like damn pretty. But I don't know. I don't know. I can still remember the face. You know those times where you see somebody so attractive and it's like, wow, I don't think it's eye candy. Maybe it's eye candy. It's just like, wow. Maybe I should have just went up to her. But it's like such a missed opportunity, right? Yeah. But wow, okay, that was quite a moment also. And then besides that, then we continued working, went around. There were influencers that we invited from China that came. Then we brought them around France to experience. And then it was quite interesting. I think I mentioned in previous episodes before where I was quite shell-shocked. I was quite shocked because my experience working in China and going on this front street with all my China colleagues, I was constantly being praised for being attractive. And that has never happened to me ever before. And if I suppose some of you who are guys who are listening to this, I don't think anybody would praise a guy. It's not very common to say, oh yeah, you look very good. And especially if you are not a very good looking person, you are like a average looking person. Nobody would say that unless you look fucking dashing, then people would say that, right? There's a higher chance. But this was my first time, right? Getting complimented for looking attractive. They're like, what the fuck is going on? Are you joking with me? Are you fucking kidding me? Then I like kind of stare at the person, then I just kind of smile. Because I myself can't take compliments to begin with. And when the person say I'm attractive, I just kind of stare back and I just smile and, oh, okay, thanks. Because I couldn't believe it. Like this person who was there that was helping us to manage the influencers and everything was saying, oh, wow, you look very attractive, man. Then I was like, I don't know what to say, man. And I tried to think back and try to evaluate what exactly is the reason why the person said that. And I have a few guesses. It would be, I think in China, right, you don't find a lot of tall people. And me being tall is a premium. And I think being tall, right, plays a higher factor, a higher weightage in terms of evaluating somebody's attractiveness than in Singapore. So that part definitely played in because I'm very tall. And then at the same time, if you look somewhat decent, if you look average, the tallness, right, can kind of make it look better, right? And if I look even more dashing, I'll be like, wow, 10.10 really. But I look average, so I think the tallness kind of influenced everything and brought me from an average 5.10 to 7 or 8. And I guess that's my guess. I never truly figured it out. I never go and ask, why do you think I'm handsome or attractive? Who the fuck would say that? That's like self-obsessed, right? I couldn't even believe it really. So I was quite surprised. And even till this day, I kind of hold the compliment close to heart, like, oh, if I go China, maybe I have a higher opportunity there. If I ever can't find a partner here, maybe I'll just go China then. Yeah. But it was quite an interesting experience to have somebody say that. I was like, I really can't believe it, man. I really can't believe it. Yeah, so that's that. It was quite an interesting trip. So many things happened. I managed to visit my a Supreme store. Seeing Supreme so popular, I never seen their store before, and it looks pretty normal. The shirts are not very good looking. I think all the good looking ones are, they will do a limited drop kind of situation, but the one that they have a permanent kind of permanently sold at the stores weren't very great. I managed to get some free stickers as well, because when I was in the store, I saw like there were stickers. Then I asked, how much is the sticker? Because I want to buy it for my friend, alright? Then he said it's free. Then he gave me one stack of it. Then I go back to Singapore, then I check Carousell, how much is one sticker, Supreme sticker? $6, man. Like, wow, he gave me so much for free. I can sell it for $6. Wow, that's big cash, man. just one sticker, and the sticker looks very big, very nice. You can paste it anywhere, and people confirm will see one. So that was cool. Besides that, we visited the Mona Lisa place. That has a painting, the glass pyramid. Then we also, because when we went to the glass pyramid place, I think that whole area also is very popular for people to dress very well. I think that's a place where a lot of the fashion photographers were there. The very famous fashion photographers. They were taking pictures of models wearing interesting clothes there. I don't know why that's the place, but for some reason that's the place. Then I see some of the models posing, and that was quite interesting. Besides that, there really isn't anything else really. So it was quite a fun experience for sure. Eye-opening. I don't think I'll ever go back. I don't think I'll ever have the opportunity to go back again. I don't think so. If I have the opportunity to go back, if I have the money to go back, well, I'm not too sure. I think I want to go to Japan first before I go to go back to France, right? But it was nice. It was nice. Yeah, thanks for listening. Today's episode is quite long. I guess I will see you guys next time.